From Austin Film Festival, this is On Story, a look inside the creative process from today's leading writers and filmmakers. I'm your host, Barbara Morgan. On Story features discussions with a diverse array of voices who use the language of film and television to tell a story. All of our content is recorded live at the Austin Film Festival and Conference, at our year-round events, and in up-to-the-minute interviews. This special presentation of On Story is a closer look at some of the incredible films chosen to screen at the 25th annual Austin Film Festival. We talked with the filmmakers whose work represents some of the most original voices in filmmaking from around the world, about the challenges they faced in the creative process, and the breakthroughs that led them to the Austin Film Festival. One of the most compelling and challenging stories at this year's festival comes from a powerful documentary titled A Girl Named C. It tells the story of an 11-year-old who was raped in her New Jersey elementary school by another student. Emily Cassie, the film's director, spoke to us about her motivations and what drove her to champion this story. A Girl Named C screens October 28th at St. David's Bethel Hall and October 29th at the Alamo Drafthouse Village.
I'm Emily Cassie. I'm the director and producer of A Girl Named C, the story of a young girl who faces abuse in her childhood and the way that she copes with it through the years following her assault, using art and storytelling to address what happened to her. I had been working at the Huffington Post as a reporter there, and I was creative directing our investigative magazine. I had covered some stories of sexual abuse, and I received a lot of different emails, people reaching out about their stories on a variety of topics. But one day I received an email from a woman that really struck me. It said, a good friend of mine, her child was sexually abused. She was raped, and they have had very little luck in the justice system and are looking for a way to tell their story. I was amazed that someone so young would be so eager to share what had happened to them. As we know, childhood sexual assault is very difficult to deal with and to speak about and even come forward about. Most people who have been assaulted as children don't come forward, if at all, until many, many years later. So I told the friend that I'd be happy to be in touch with them, and she put me in touch with C and her family. And from there, I started a conversation with C. We would Skype with her parents. When I first met her, she was just turning 12, and we spoke about her experience and what had happened to her. And we developed this relationship over a year before I decided to move forward with the documentary. And part of C's story that's so compelling is that she's so creative herself, and she's expressed her trauma in so many compelling ways. And she started to make her own documentary. And I had talked to the parents about what it would be like for myself and my team to come make a documentary of her own journey and of her making a documentary. So it was almost this, you know, meta approach to filmmaking, where there was this young girl who had already been trying to explore her trauma through film and through art, and we were there to try to start capturing that and tell her story through that. So that's how the story came to me, and we didn't start filming until right before she turned 13, and we were there for her 13th birthday. And that's really how this story started.
So you use a lot of her artwork and visual references that she's created over a period of time in the film to help tell that story. Can you talk about how you ultimately decided what of her artwork to use? Was she very involved in the process of doing that?
So, to me, I've been involved in this national conversation about sexual abuse. I've spent quite a bit of time reporting on it in a number of contexts. And something that really seemed to be missing to me, what was it like to actually live with this from such a young age? How does it impact the way you think about yourself? How does it change your brain chemistry? Because we hear about these assaults so much later, and we're focused on these kind of true crime aspects and what happened and who did it and were they punished? And we kind of miss what it's actually like to live with this. And that's kind of where C's artwork came in. She had somehow she's this brilliant, precocious, almost 14 now, and she produced these pieces of art that reflected exactly what she was feeling. So, for instance, she had created this checkerboard, and in the checkerboard there was like a splash of red that represented her feeling of isolation, and that people could see what had happened to her amongst this, you know, sea of people. She created another piece where she had cut up fragments of her memory. She had typed them up and cut them up and then placed them all over a page, and then placed black squares on top of those memories to show the gaps in her memory. And this was remarkable to me and to my team, that she could express herself in such a vivid way. And we knew that so much of this story needed to be told through her art. So we actually used all of her artwork from that time. We poured through pages of her diaries that she shared with us and pulled things from there. So she walked us through, and she had written up descriptions of what each piece of artwork meant. And there are two phases to this. One was the artwork itself, and the other was that we wanted to bring to life her inner world. And we wanted to do that through animation. Animation that was connected to her artwork, inspired by her artwork, her color palette, the way that she describes her inner life. And so we teamed up with the studio, an amazing animation studio, and with Mary Natolo, who's the head of that studio and one of our executive producers, to create her inner world in full animation. So parts of the film are in full animation, and parts of the film are her pieces of artwork brought to life through animation. And the way that they're animated reflect how she describes the artwork.
One of the things I found really unique about this documentary was how the story unfolds in a time-pacing, full documentation of what occurred and how you involve the audience in that process. Can you talk about the decisions you made in the filming of it to essentially reveal the story the way you did?
Interestingly to me, you know, as much of the story is about sexual abuse, it's also about childhood. It's about discovery, coming of age, having a broken heart, trying to reconcile with these adult themes that come in and kind of shatter her childhood when she wasn't prepared for that. And we wanted the story to reflect that. So we knew that it needed to be clear to people that something had happened in the beginning. So we allude to that very clearly in the beginning, but we don't break down what happened. We instead follow the journey as her parents find out. And we felt that this was something that people could really relate to. You have a child, something's wrong with them, and you don't know what it is. You don't know what exactly has happened. And so you're getting pieces and fragments. And we felt through the lens of the parents, of how she slowly revealed it to them, should be matched in how the audience learned of her story.
It's sometimes hard to talk about what happened to me. Sometimes I feel like nothing, that I'm almost just like a soul floating around.
She was going to bed completely fully clothed, like zip-up shorts, t-shirt, top, hoodie. And I said, do you think something's happened to her?
Thank you for joining us for this special episode of the On Story podcast. At the 25th Annual Austin Film Festival, we are thrilled to present a diverse array of outstanding international storytellers. We hope you will join us October 25th through November 1st. You can get your film passes and badges at austinfilmfestival.com, where you can also find this year's full lineup of films and panels. You've been listening to Austin Film Festival's On Story.